Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to part two of our interview, Return to Bothell. Obviously, there were a lot of very, for lack of a better term, fantastic claims that Keith was making about things happening in the home. Several of them very well noted, and I'm interested to hear what Steve thought of them, what Steve investigated about them. Let's start talking about some of those, beginning with some of the wall markings that were in Keith's office, the 666, the hanging man in that black, it appeared to be paint of some sort. But what were the findings there? What did Steve think of that?
The interesting thing about that, and Steve, none of that happened. That particular manifestation did not happen while Steve or Don were there. Mm-hmm. So he was only able to analyze photographs that that Keith had taken of it, because by the point that by the time that Steve and Don had gotten there, Keith had all of it painted over. He's like, you could still kind of see it, like underneath the white cover-up paint, because it hadn't been entirely finished. But he's like, most of the markings had been covered up, and they weren't able to, get any readings off them or anything like that. But he said the interesting thing about a lot of the paint markings, particularly not even the 666 and the crosses and things, but he's like, the ones that just looked like scribbles. He's like, the weird thing about those was that he showed them to a lot of his friends that were, artists, painters, interior decorators and stuff. And they said, that's not a real common technique. It's like, there's really no dripping. The paint, if that's what it was very evenly applied. He's like, the closest thing that he found that he could approximate was that it's like, it looked like something that had been put on there with horsehair, maybe, because I guess there's kind of an artistic thing where you put paint on things like pottery with horsehair. It's like, it looks a little bit like that, or like with a feather, but he's like, it doesn't really look like anyone painted those on there. So he seemed more interested in the scribble marks than he did in the writing and things of that nature. Because the thing about Steve is that, as I said, he's very skeptical, and he actually informed Keith on the day that he and Don got there. He said, I know that you have, he's like, I'm interested in everything you told me that happened before we got here, because I believe Keith saw apparitions and things of that nature also. But Steve is like, us being here, this is day one. We weren't here, so we can't verify, what happened beforehand. He's like, we're not necessarily saying that he made it up. He's just saying we can't verify it as true because we weren't here to see it. We weren't here to measure it. And we don't like to take anyone else's word for it. Mm-hmm. And if other teams had been there and explored it, he's like, they didn't really do it to any extent that we would take them entirely seriously. Excuse me.
Sure.
But that's kind of where he was approaching it, where he was just saying, we're not saying, he remained ambivalent about it. He's like, I don't know if that happened or not. He's like, we had some things happen, like with the camera turning around. At one point, they had a pink ball, like a beach ball, that shot across the kitchen and hit a curtain. And he said, so he's like, obviously things are moving in this house, which makes me more open to the possibility that things moved before. But, he stayed very neutral on that. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't get the impression that Keith was making it up or mm-hmm. was doing it himself. He's like, because he just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. Because he studied psychology also, and he did a lot of questionnaires and things like that with Keith when he was there. So he's like, so he just kind of remained ambivalent about things that had happened, before he was there to see them.
Sure. And if you do look at the photographs of those wall markings, I did say paint earlier, and the first impression and first looking at it within the first couple of seconds, you think, well, spray paint. But you look at it even more and you go, that's not really quite how spray paint comes out. That's a very interesting point that some of Steve's colleagues that he shared that with made of, it doesn't look like you just went to Sherwin-Williams and got a spray paint can, because it really wouldn't come out exactly the same ways. He had mentioned to me after our interview, when we were just chatting for a few moments, about the contents of the black of the paint, or whatever whatever it was, with the black substance, I should say, that was on the wall. And he had mentioned that it had been tested, and it had tested for a very unique substance that essentially was made out of a basically a toasted bone, if you will. And it's a very rare substance to get, a very rare type of paint, in fact, that's only available, I believe, in like one or two places. But it's not something you could just run down to the hardware store and pick up. Had you heard anything about that end of the paint or the substance that was on the wall?
I had heard of him saying something about that. And, you know, I don't know if that's the case or not. But one thing that did sort of make me lean more toward, you know, the things that happened before Stephen Don got there, mm-hmm. about Keith being sincere about that, was actually about the burning of the Bibles, which Stephen Don actually got to examine the actual Bibles that this had happened to. And Steve told me that he's like, these Bibles did not look like someone had just set them on fire with a match or something like that. He's like, it looked like heat applied without flame. He's like, it wouldn't be impossible to fake, but, you know, in the same way that paint on the walls, it wouldn't be impossible to fake that. But he's like, if he did fake it, he didn't go the easiest route. You know, he didn't just spray things on the wall with spray paint. He didn't just set a Bible on fire with a match. So he's like, so that kind of makes me think that he probably wasn't faking it, because why would you go to all that trouble, you know, just to fake, oh, I'm going to go out of my way and get this really strange paint that you can't get anywhere else, or I'm going to burn a Bible using like a weird heat gun or something like that that doesn't have any flame. He's like, it just seems like it would be much easier if you were going to fake something to do it in the easiest way possible. And it's like, if he was, he wasn't doing it that way. He's like, which makes me believe that, you know, probably even some of the more spectacular things that happened before Stephen Don got there were probably genuine.
Mm-hmm. That was what I was going to ask you about next, was the Bible, because that's obviously a big component of this case. It's what, it's on the cover of your book. It's mm-hmm. it's one of those things that people remember this case by. And you kind of answered my question there about what was Steve's impression of the Bible. But I think you did answer that. Did anything of that nature, of anything as spectacular as that happen while Steve was investigating?
Not so much. It did seem like, other than the few object movements, like I said, the light, the ball, the camera, most of the things they got, they did hear a lot of anomalous sounds. They heard footsteps, which they also recorded. They had a lot of things like, they had some optical tripwires, and they set those up in the upstairs hallway, and they were set off, after which they heard a child's footsteps, and then they were set off again. And they actually got all that on tape. But I think the most spectacular thing of all the things that happened while they were there was the EVPs, which actually led them to believe that this might not be, because at first they were sort of leaning toward maybe this is a poltergeist infestation, even though there was no obvious poltergeist focus, and even though apparently previous tenants had also reported some unusual activity in the home, so this might be more toward a location-based type of haunting. But a lot of the EVPs they captured were intelligent, as though they were answering Steve or Don's questions, and they didn't hear the voices at the time, but then later on, you know, they would play things back and would remember what was going on, and they would hear these voices. One of the creepiest ones, I thought, was the second time they went back, which was in April of 2016. They weren't getting as much activity the second time, and so they had purchased a bunch of trigger items to see if they could get some of the entities or whatever they were to react to what they were doing. And so Don actually went and bought a bouquet of flowers, and he put them in a vase in the upstairs hallway. And they didn't hear anything at the time, but when they played back the video that they had taken at the time, like just the B-roll footage of them putting the flowers there and things, there were actually two very distinct female voices, and there were no women in the house at the time. And one of the voices said, "Whose are the flowers?" And then the second one said, "That man bought them." And I have heard these EVPs, and they're as clear as a bell. They sound like actual people talking, and as most of the EVPs that they obtained there did. And to me, that seemed like it was the most spectacular thing that they that they got on their investigations was just all these voices. There's just like there was just voices all the time. They couldn't. In fact, Steve said the funny thing was that we had filmed all this B-roll footage, like for, you know, what if we were going to make a documentary down the line. So it's like we had just filmed ourselves setting up the equipment and, you know, getting there and just talking or whatever. And he's like, when we got back to the UK, he's like, I played it back and we couldn't use hardly any of it because it was just talking like during the whole thing. And it wasn't us. He's like, it was EVPs. He's like, and I sent it to an EVP professional in the field. And he's like, and the guy called me back and he said, well, I can't hear any EVPs because of all the people talking in the video. And he's like, that is the EVPs. That wasn't us. That was entities, I suppose, like talking. But they really did get a lot of that. And a lot of them were actually quite creepy. But I think that Don still has a few of them on his website, if I recall correctly. He used to. I don't know if he's taken them down.
When you have something like that with so many things going on, so many, apparently it appears to be many different entities residing there, passing through there, what have you. My next question was going to be, did they have any conclusions or any assumptions as to who might be haunting this house or why they might be there? What were they left on that question of why is this going on to begin with, or who is it, or why are they there? Any answers on any of that?
Well, the interesting thing about that, they actually had a full geological survey of the area done. They had all of those types of things, to try to discount any, you know, but there's no underground caves or anything like that. Now, they said the one interesting thing about where Keith's house was, because Keith's house, I mean, as well as all the other houses in that neighborhood, which was called the Timbers, it was only 10 years old. But the site where Keith's house stood was apparently the only site that had been the scene of a prior dwelling. The rest of the land had just been forest that had been cleared. But evidently where Keith's house sits, there used to be a cabin there in the 1940s. And evidently from what they have been able to determine, there was a couple that lived there that were, I don't think any murders happened there or anything of that, anything that extreme, but apparently the couple that lived there were kind of shady characters. They were in and out of prison for tax evasion and were, you know, other just shady characters altogether. And I believe one of them actually did die in prison. But the interesting thing about that was that even prior to that cabin being built there, Steve and Don were curious as to why many of the EVPs that they picked up on their first investigation had Irish accents, which they thought was very weird. And when they looked into the background of the area, and they didn't know this prior to going to Seattle and investigating, was that this area had been the site of a big logging community, and there had been a lot of Irish immigrants there. And they had apparently been, there were a lot of skirmishes with the Native American tribes in the area who thought, you know, you're tearing down our trees and you're impinging on our land or whatever. And so I guess there were some fatalities on both sides. So they're wondering if maybe just this particular plot of land is just some kind of, there's just something particular about this one piece of land, because evidently no one else in the neighborhood, as far as I know and as far as they've been able to determine, have reported any unusual paranormal activity. It's just his house. And the fact that they got so many voices, many of which had Irish accents, so they're almost kind of thinking maybe it had something to do with the particular history of the land, with all these skirmishes with the Irish American loggers. And, you know, maybe it kind of was like filtered through the people that lived in the cabin there before that got torn down, many years before Keith's house was built. They're like, or maybe there's just some kind of, you know, particular geographical anomaly about this one area that's sort of making it a catalyst for all of these things. But it's just a really interesting case. It's really like no other case I've ever heard of. And, you know, I've researched quite a lot of poltergeist cases and things of that nature, but I've never really heard of one like this, where it was just such a combination of, it seemed like an intelligent haunting, and then it kind of seemed like poltergeist activity, and there was just so much going on. And the fact that a parapsychologist went there and got all these EVPs, and like I said, you know, most of them are very clear and seem to be answering people's questions directly. And it just seems like something that doesn't happen all that often. It's just really an unusual case.
Yeah, it's very hard to categorize it or to put it in any sort of a box of, oh, it's this sort of a thing that's going on there. Because you do, it runs the gamut of things that are kind of peaceful, kind of playful, to it's burning Bibles.
And, yeah.
and so you jump to like demonic to small child in the course of, you know, two sentences. And it just seems like there's just so many things going on there. And maybe that's just the reality of it. It's not one thing. It can't be put in a box. It's just kind of one of those very unique hotspots that sometimes people find out there.
Yeah, that definitely does seem to be the case. And, you know, I really hope, I know that Keith has since moved away, but I really kind of hope that things continue to happen. Not, I don't want anyone to get hurt that lives there, but, you know, I do kind of feel like I wish it would continue so they could investigate it further and see what kind of get to the bottom of it at some point.
Is there any knowledge as far as other, I know that there's rumors of previous residents, not super, super well documented, but previous residents saying, yes, stuff has happened there. Is there any detail on any of that or anything subsequent to Keith moving of any activity being there that's in any sort of detail?
As far as I know, I believe two prior residents, and as you said, this is not very well documented. Actually, Keith said he talked to the former resident on Facebook, and she had said that that they had seen apparitions, they had heard strange banging and footsteps and things like that. And I believe the resident prior to that also reported some sort of shadowy figures and things like that. Now, as far as I know, ever since Keith moved out, because he moved out in mid to late 2016, I believe. And as far as I know, the house has been sold. I think someone bought it in summer of 2016, but I haven't heard anything further. So I don't know if they're experiencing any paranormal activity or just keeping it on the down low, or if they're not experiencing anything at all. I mean, Steve told me that, you know, as a parapsychologist, he's like, what we were trying to do the second time they went back in April of 2016, when they knew that Keith would be moving out, he's like, we wanted to make this house livable for the next tenants. You know, we don't want the next tenants to experience anything harmful. So he's like, so we were trying to get it down to a point where no one would notice it, because he's like, usually the more people pay attention to this type of phenomena, you know, the worse it gets. So he's like, we wanted to get to a point where it was just not noticeable. So it wouldn't escalate, it wouldn't worsen. He's like, you know, we didn't want a family to move in here that had an adolescent or that had some kind of trauma or something that would exacerbate it and kind of kick it off again. So as far as I know, the family that is living there now has not experienced anything, or has not reported experiencing anything. And I guess that's a good thing. Although, like I said, I would be kind of interested to know what it is that's going on there exactly, because this case is just, it's just so intriguing. And like listening to Steve talk about it, because he was actually there, it's just so interesting. All the things that he talked about, and all the EVPs that he heard and things. So I don't know. I'm still so curious about it. And I've been keeping up with Keith and with Don Phillips' documentary and stuff to try and see if there's any further information on that.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Jenny Ashford about the Bothell Hell House. Return to Bothell. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.